Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to Erefuah Shlema, complete recovery for Sharon Katz, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harab Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have two subjects we want to discuss on this week's program. We're going to continue our Torah Judaism discussions with the parasha that we read, Be'ezrat Hashem, God willing, in the synagogue next Shabbat, which is Parashat Va'tetze. And we're also going to discuss the latest developments in Israel, because there's something that's happened in Israel that affects our movement, that our movement has been involved with, and that really shows how anti-democratic, how viciously anti-democratic the establishment that runs Israel truly is. Let's start off with the second subject, the anti-democratic nature of the establishment in Israel, with some of the latest events this week. First of all, Bensi Gopstein, who is the head of an organization called Lehava, has been arrested. There's going to be members of his organization were arrested, and there's an indictment that has been handed down against him because he's telling Jewish girls they should not marry Arab Muslim Nazis. He's telling Jewish girls not to marry Arab Muslims. If they marry Arab Muslims, they're going to be beaten and raped and brutalized and in many cases even murdered, because that's what Arab Muslims do to their wives. And because he's given them this message of truth to try to save Jewish souls and try to save Jewish girls, because thousands of Jewish girls are married to Arab Muslims in Israel and are like slaves to the Muslims in Israel who brutalize them and who treat them with the most horrific torture, literally torture them, rape them and torture them and beat them. Anyway, and they hold them prisoner then in Arab towns. These Jewish girls, many of whom are just full brainwashed fools who have never heard what really happens, who've been brainwashed by the Israeli educational system, and the left-wing teachers and the left-wing news media, all trying to glorify the Arabs and tell us how wonderful the Arab Muslims are. So Bensi Gopstein and his organization Lehava attempt to rescue these Jewish girls and attempt to warn them in advance not to do this. So he's being charged with racism. It's racist to say that Jews are not supposed to intermarry with Arab Muslims. It's racist to tell Jewish girls not to go to Arab towns and become slaves to the Arab Muslims. It's racist to expose the fact that Arab Muslims brutalize their women and treat them worse than cattle. They treat them worse than their camels. It's racist to say this, even if you prove what you're saying with facts. So Bensi Gopstein is facing an indictment. He was already arrested. And he's facing now he's been indicted on charges of racism and incitement and all types of ridiculous, absurd, anti-democratic crap. And this is taking place under the so-called justice minister, really the injustice minister, Ayelet Shaked. Ayelet Shaked from the so-called Jewish Home Party, which is supposed to be a right-wing party. They're a right-wing party like the Republicans are a conservative party. It's all phony right. And the phony right is usually worse than the left. And in fact, good Jews like Bensi Gopstein are persecuted when you have governments of the phony right, are persecuted worse under governments of the phony right than under governments of the left. And so this is what's happening to Bensi Gopstein and his organization. Of course, we've done videos. We've done a number of videos and many posts on Facebook and on our Hebrew sites exposing this and trying to raise awareness of this and protesting this. We're doing the best we can to protest what's going on. In addition to that, the Jews whose homes were destroyed in Amona, their homes were destroyed because some Arab claimed my camel relieved himself on this property 100 years ago, so this belongs to me. It is completely baloney, fictitious, fabricated claims of Arabs claiming that the land belongs. They claim everything belongs to them. I mean, they just go and take over people's private Jewish property and claim that the land belongs to them. They are pathological liars, and everybody knows it. But the radical left that controls the Israeli Supreme Court and that controls Israel's government, Netanyahu protects the radical left Supreme Court. And Naftali Bennett from the Jewish Home Party protects the radical left Supreme Court. They protect these beasts and these traitors that are running Israel's judiciary. And so the Supreme Court orders that their homes be demolished, and hundreds of Jews have been thrown out of their homes and brutally expelled by the Netanyahu-Bennett-Lieberman regime. Yes, Netanyahu is throwing hundreds of Jews out of their homes and expelling them brutally. And now, Injustice Minister Ayelet Shaked's prosecutor's office, and again, she's supposed to be a right-winger, Ayelet Shaked, from the Jewish Home Party. Her office is now indicting, is handing down indictments against the Jews whose homes were destroyed. Their homes were destroyed. They were thrown out on the street. They were expelled from their land so they could be handed over to Arab terrorists, Nazi mass murderers. And now they're facing indictments because they didn't want to leave. They didn't leave on time when they were supposed to leave and we wanted to evict them. They're now indicting them. Something which they never do. They never do to Arab Muslim Nazis. They don't throw Arab Muslim Nazis. They don't destroy whole Arab Muslim Nazi towns and neighborhoods. Even though the Arab Muslim Nazis build all over Israel illegally without any permits all over the place, tens of thousands of illegal structures, and nobody touches it. They have a license to do anything they want in Israel, the Arab Muslim Nazi enemy. But Jews, whose homes, in a criminal, barbaric act, in a pogrom, their homes were destroyed. Their children were dragged out of the homes. They were beaten and brutalized and placed on buses by Israeli police acting like the Gestapo. And then, what happens? They're indicted. They're indicted by the Israeli government. That's Netanyahu. That's the right-wing government of Netanyahu. He's a real right-winger. Israel's government and institutions are literally anti-Semitic. If they tried to do this to Jews in the United States, if they said, you're a Jew, you're not allowed to build here, we're going to destroy your home and hand it over to Arab Muslim Nazis. If they tried to do this in the United States, first of all, the courts would never allow it in the United States. But the courts in Israel, the courts order that it be done. In the United States, the courts would never allow it. As bad as the courts are here, they wouldn't allow on a massive scale, throwing people out just because they're Jews. And then indict the people who were thrown out of their homes? I mean, this is what Israel has come to. So we have Benzi Gopstein and his organization, Lehava, being arrested. He's been indicted because he's against intermarriage and because he's against Jewish girls becoming slaves and rape victims of Arab Muslim terrorists. And then, again, the second thing is the people who were thrown out of their homes, expelled from Amunah and other communities, are being indicted after their homes were destroyed. It's not enough their homes were destroyed. They're being indicted now. And the third thing that happened this week, Rubi Rivlin, Yemach Shmo V'Zichro, who is the so-called president of Israel, another Likudnik. He was also in the Likud, friends with Netanyahu and a big Likud leader, and he was the speaker of the Knesset in Israel. Big Likud leader. They made him president of Israel. He was the successor to the other beast, Shimon Peres, Yemach Shmo V'Zichro. And this guy, Rubi Rivlin, who says, we have to, he respects, and he went over to show his support for Jewish girls who are marrying Arab Muslims, and says it's undemocratic, and it's just you're not allowed to go to them and tell them that they shouldn't do this. It's racist to say they shouldn't do this. If they want to marry Arab Muslims, that's their privilege. That's their prerogative. That's what a democracy is all about, and he supports it as the president of a so-called Jewish state. So that's the type of scum he is. Anyway, and that's just one out of a million things from him. I mean, the lowest, most vile swine you could ever possibly imagine. And now, he rejected a plea for clemency or to pardon Elor Azaria. Elor Azaria was a young Israeli soldier, an Arab terrorist. You know, the Arab terrorists stab people and murder people with knives. They just take knives out and start stabbing and murdering people. So one of the Arab terrorists took a knife out and to try to stab people. He was shot and injured. And Elor Azaria saw him on the ground and felt that he was armed and felt he was going to do so, because that's happened before. Even when they're injured, they're still armed, and they still have explosives or guns or something else that they're hiding, and they murder Jewish soldiers and murder Jewish civilians even after they've been wounded on the ground. That has happened numerous times in Israel. So he felt that was about to happen. So he shot the Arab terrorist to death. He was arrested and charged with murder by Ayelet Shaked's so-called justice ministry, the injustice ministry of Israel. They charged him with murder for killing an Arab terrorist. Can you imagine if you had someone from ISIS, an ISIS terrorist, shot by a police officer or shot by someone, even someone who was exercising their Second Amendment right in the United States. If an ISIS terrorist, while he was committing the act of terrorism, was shot and killed by somebody, would they then indict the person who kills the ISIS terrorist? Indict them and charge them with murder? That's what happened in Israel to an Israeli soldier. The Israeli soldier ultimately, the people of Israel overwhelmingly supported the soldier. Even though Pipi Netanyahu and all the traitors who run Israel, you know, you have to respect the army and the armies and the generals, and they were against him. How dare he do this? And all his superiors were against him, and they all opposed him. But every poll showed the vast majority of the people of Israel instinctively understood that this soldier, that you have to support this soldier, and that this is what they're doing, is they're murdering Israeli soldiers. The Israeli government is murdering Israeli soldiers by creating a situation where they tie their hands when they have to face Arab terrorists. Now, by the way, I'm telling you all of this in the United States. If I were in Israel saying this, I'd be arrested for saying this. This would be incitement, insulting public officials, racism. I mean, they charge me with all types of hocus-pocus, absurd charges, some ridiculous, absurd charges. They would arrest me. I would go to jail. I'd spend years in prison for saying what I'm telling you. What I'm telling you now, which in the United States, of course, is perfectly legal, what I'm telling you now. There's nothing they could do to me in the United States. But if I went to Israel and spoke like this, I would be arrested. I'd be put in prison for saying what I'm saying now. And here's the proof of it. People condemned Ruby Rivlin because Ruby Rivlin then refused to give... Anyway, the soldier... Let me go back to this, to the soldier story. The soldier is charged with murder, but in the end, because overwhelming public support for him, the people of Israel overwhelmingly supported him. And so the establishment wanted to teach a lesson so that they tell soldiers, you're not allowed... You know, they want to castrate Israeli soldiers, and they want Jewish soldiers to be castrated... kikes like they are. You know, that's what they want. They don't want Jews to be proud, self-respecting Jews that defend Jewish rights and Jewish honor and do what the Torah commands us to do, which is to murder, which is to get rid of our murderers and get rid of our enemies. We're supposed to kill them. So in the end, he was sentenced to a year and a half in prison. This Jewish soldier who did the right thing, who killed this Arab terrorist. He was sentenced to a year and a half in prison. So he appealed to the president. The president, you have the prime minister and then you have a president. You have a crazy system in Israel. You have a prime minister and a president. Netanyahu is the prime minister and this guy, Ruby Rivlin, is the president. And Ruby Rivlin, as the president, can pardon someone, can let them out of prison. So he made an appeal to the president to let him out after he started serving his sentence. And Ruby Rivlin rejected it, said that this is going to undermine the authority of the army, under authority of the army to castrate the soldiers and set them up as sitting ducks to be murdered by Arab terrorists. That's what the army wants the power to do, and that's what they've been doing. And thousands of Jewish soldiers have been murdered unnecessarily for decades because of these crazy policies. But in any event, Ruby Rivlin refused to give him a pardon. So there was angry reaction, and people showed pictures of him in a kafiyah. Kafiyah is the Arab headdress that Arafat wore. And they showed pictures of him in a kafiyah, and they condemned him. Oh, the police are starting an investigation. How dare you criticize the president of Israel? How dare you show him with a picture with a kafiyah on, insult him like that? This is incitement. You're not allowed to do this. The police are starting an investigation. They want to arrest people. They want indictments in Israel against people. How dare they do this? This is democracy. This is so-called... Meanwhile, The Arabs in the Knesset, the Arab Muslim Nazis who sit in the Knesset, openly support the destruction of Israel, openly support genocide against the Jewish people. That's not racism. They're allowed to sit in Israel's parliament, in Israel's Knesset, calling for the destruction of Israel and destruction of the Jewish people. That's not racism to call for the destruction of the Jewish people. To support Hezbollah and Hamas and Fatah and all the terrorist organizations that openly say they're going to wipe the Jewish people off the face of the earth and finish Hitler's job and push the Jews into the sea. No, that's not racism. No. That's their democratic right of free speech. This is what Israel has become. It's not what Israel has become. This is what Israel has always been. Ever since the creatures Ben-Gurion, Weissman, and all these other traitors took over Israel's government with the founding of the state, this is Israel. It's not at all like the United States. If you think you have similar rights in Israel that you have in the United States, you couldn't be more wrong. And things are pretty bad in the United States too. I mean, there are a lot of problems in the United States with political correctness and all the insanity, but nothing like Israel. So we just did another video. You know, they've done this to us. I can't tell you how many times the media has attacked JTF, our Hebrew movement, and accused us of incitement and all of that. They can't do anything to us because I'm in the United States. I'm the one doing the videos, and I'm in the United States, so they can't touch me. But I can't tell you how many times the media has said, wow, how terrible, how can he say this in his videos, how dare he? Because of the Hebrew videos I've done. They don't care what I say. What I'm telling you that I don't think they care about. I think their main concern is the Hebrew videos. And we did a video, for instance, condemning Shimon Peres, Yimach Shmo B'Zichro, that traitor, when he croaked, when he finally went to Esh Gehinnom, went to the hell of the fires of hell, Yimach Shmo, may he burn there forever after what he did to the Jewish people. He was also the former prime minister and president of Israel, the lowest of the low. I mean, just so low. He wanted Israel to become an Arab country and join the Arab League. I mean, I can't even begin to outline for you all the treason that he committed in his evil lifetime. So I did a video exposing him and condemning him. Oh, look what he says. How they accuse me of incitement. How can you incite against someone who's dead? They accuse me of incitement for the videos I did against Yitzhak Rabin, who was dead already. How can you incite against someone who's dead? You incite, that means you're inciting violence or inciting something, people to do something against somebody. Which is, of course, absurd. In other words, any criticism is automatically incitement. Any criticism from the right is automatically incitement. And they have accused me repeatedly when it comes to Rabin, Perez, and others. They've accused me of incitement when I criticize people who for years have been dead. It's so laughable. It's so pathetic. Anyway, we just did I did a video a while back on Ruby Rivlin telling Jewish girls it's okay to sleep with Arabs and to marry Arabs, and this is something we should respect Jewish girls who marry Arabs, and we have to respect them. And he went over to congratulate one of them. So I did a video calling him Ruby Rivlin Harasha, which means the evil Ruby Rivlin. You call the president of Israel evil? This is incitement. Look at the incitement on the internet against the president of Israel. This is the type of anti-democratic garbage that we have in Israel. People are persecuted just for their opinions, for their beliefs. There is no democracy in Israel. There is a radical left judicial dictatorship in Israel, and Netanyahu and the government and people on the so-called right, the phony right, they join 100% with the radical left in persecuting and suppressing true dissidents and true free speech. So today I just did another video on him tonight. I just did another video on him, condemning him for his decision on El Or Azaria, on this Jewish soldier, and we'll see if they'll, we'll see what they say about that. If they say anything, they could say whatever they want. They can kiss my Jewish tuchus. Okay, they can't do anything to me right now because I'm in the United States. Hey, you didn't want me in Israel. You banned me for 21 years. You won't let me go to Israel. So here I can say anything I want about you, and I intend to. Okay? And I intend to defend the brave Jews in Israel, the brave Jewish dissidents who are speaking up against you. We're going to help them with their legal defense, and we're going to assist them, and we're going to back them up, and we're going to continue to support them. It's not only our right to do it, it's our legal right to do it, and our moral right to do it, it's our moral obligation to do it, and we're going to do it. And they express frustration, you know, when they condemn me. They go, he's in the United States, so he can get away with it. Did it ever cross anybody's mind? I mean, did they ever think about, hey, how come I can say what I want? In the United States, I can say these things, and nobody would even think of, well, we're going to indict him, we're going to this, we're going to... Can't even think. In the United States, you can't indict people for expressing their views like this. But in Israel, you can. And in Israel, they do it all the time. They do it all the time. Poor Noam Federman, the Jewish dissident Noam Federman, dozens of times they indicted him. He was acquitted every time except for one. And even that was a farce. But dozens of times they convicted him because he said that Sharon was a traitor for throwing 10,000 Jews out of their homes in Gush Katif. I mean, the things, it's just unbelievable what goes on there. You know that no one else tells you what we're telling you on this program. Nowhere else are you going to get this truth. And more importantly, nowhere else are you going to get an organization that stands behind the good guys and for the good people and stands for justice and truth. And let me tell you something. If you want to be able to say to Hashem, to say to God on Yom HaDin, on the Day of Judgment, that you stood for truth, even in an evil generation, you were not part of the evil generation, because this evil generation is facing punishment. That you're not part of that. You did stand against it, and you did speak out. If you want to be able to say that, this is the organization to support, because we're the ones that do that. And here you don't have to. And by the way, if you're supporting us here, you don't have to worry about getting indicted. The Jewish heroes in Israel, they have to worry about getting indicted when they speak up. Here you don't have to worry about that. All you have to do is back up, because in the United States it's perfectly legal to say what we're saying. All you have to do is back up the people who are courageous enough to speak up because they love their fellow Jews and they love the land of Israel and they love the Torah, and they cannot be silent while this injustice goes on, while this vile elite, okay, this Erev Rav elite continues to try to destroy the Jewish people from within. They cannot be silent while this happens. All right, let's see. We've taken up, oh boy, this was a long one. We took up 23 minutes here. So I don't have that much time to go into this week's parasha, Vayetze. I wanted to discuss the powerful meaning of Yaakov Avinu, Jacob our father, and his dream of the ladder. Yaakov Avinu falls asleep in Yerushalayim, in Jerusalem, and he dreams of a ladder going from Yerushalayim up to heaven. It goes all the way up to heaven, the ladder. Sulam Yaakov, the ladder of Yaakov. And he sees on the ladder malachim, angels, climbing the ladder and climbing all the way up to heaven and climbing very high. And every time a powerful angel climbs and climbs and climbs and then falls, all these powerful angels climb and fall. Each one is more, one is more powerful than the other. And each of the angels represents an empire. One of the angels represents Mitzrayim, Egypt. Another one represents Bavel, Babylon. Another one represents Paras, Persia. Another one represents Yavan, Greece. Another one represents Roma, Rome. And so all of these empires are represented by the angels. In other words, these empires will rise, supposedly climb to the heavens, and then they're going to fall. They're all going to fall, despite the fact that they seem so powerful and they seem so... The angels symbolically represent these empires. And then Hashem tells Yaakov, now you climb. You climb this ladder. And when you climb, you will never fall. In other words, in the end, when all the empires have fallen, in the end of days, which we're coming towards, In the end of days, all the empires will fall. And you, Yaakov, will climb the ladder. Yaakov meaning the Jewish people. You will climb the ladder, and you will never fall. Climbing that ladder, taking that dangerous step, Yaakov was frightened. He was frightened when the thought of climbing the ladder, you go up very high, huge height, and you saw all the angels fall. These mighty angels fell. How can I survive? How can I stay up here, just me, when these mighty angels all fell? It's frightening. It's frightening to be alone. It's frightening to stand alone when the whole world condemns you. It's frightening to stand alone when you have to resist pressure from all the superpowers and all the media and all the other powerful people in the world and stand for what's right and just and what Hashem commands you to do. It's frightening to stand up for the land of Israel and the Jewish people when you have to take a moral stand. It's frightening, but it's something you have to do. And when the Jewish people are prepared to do that in the end of times, when the Jewish people finally decide to do that, we're promised we will never fall. Hashem promises us we will not fall. Hashem, as Morenu v'Rabbeinu Harav Meir David Kahana Zecher Tzadik v'Kadosh Livracha Hashem Yikom Damo, as our beloved teacher and rabbi Meir David Kahana, may God avenge his blood. May the memory of this saint be immortalized. As he always used to say, Hashem the Mashiach, the Messiah, Hashem wants to bring the Mashiach to us. And the Mashiach has been knocking at the door. He wants to come in. The Six-Day War and the return of the Jews to the land of Israel, the fulfillment of so many biblical prophecies. Hashem wants to bring the Mashiach. Hashem wants to bring final redemption to the Jewish people. If only we would finally do the final things that have to be done. But in the end of days, there is going to be a change. Will the Jewish people change and finally do tshuva? Will they finally return to Hashem and repent and do what has to be done? They will. They will. We're promised they will. Hashem says, Hashem, of course, the Jews are circumcised in the flesh. Jews circumcise their baby boys when the boys are eight days old. But Hashem says, I will circumcise your hearts. In other words, the circumcision, that's what the prophets tell us, the circumcision, the physical circumcision, the physical things that Hashem has done for us will eventually be accompanied by open spiritual intervention on our behalf. That is something that is coming. And we will return to Hashem and do what Hashem commands us to do. Not traitors and people that are beyond the pale. People that are absolutely beyond the pale, they're going to be left out. The people that join the Erev Rav and that go against their own people, they will be left out. But the Jews that are not yet, that have not yet crossed the red line, even if right now they live in error and don't do all the right things, they will come back. That will yet happen. And we will have final redemption for the Jewish people. That is something that is promised. Everything that Hashem promises comes true. Everything he promises, and we see all of it coming true in our lifetime, with the return of the Jews to Israel and the miraculous victories and the few defeating the many, with the fact that the Jews have such awesome, incredible influence over the events of the world, such a tiny people, and with the fact that all those empires that Yaakov saw in his dream in this week's parasha, all of those empires, mighty empires that controlled and ran the whole world, have all fallen. What happened to the Roman Empire? Anybody speaking Latin anymore? Is any more Roman Empire? Any more Roman culture? Any more Roman religion, Roman culture, Roman... That's all gone. Now, it's true that the successors to Rome live on in the Western culture. And eventually that Western culture of materialism and selfishness and superficial behavior, that's also going to come, that's going to clash eventually with the Jewish people and with Jewish culture and God's culture. And then Jews and Gentiles are going to have to make choices about which side they're on, which side they want to choose. But in any event, eventually, everything that was promised is all going to come true. It's all going to come true. That's the good news. The bad news is that many people are not going to be part of it because they don't want to. They're not making the right choice. They have to make the right choice. They have to choose righteousness. If you're going to be evil and you're going to choose evil and support evil, and you're going to sit by and allow evil to take place, you're not on the right side of history, and you're not on the right side of Hashem. And so we have our work cut out for us, and we're going to continue to fight the good fight. We're doing that in Israel now. We're doing that virtually every day. We have a new video go up, and our message is going out to people, and we're advertising our message. Help us, join with us. Help us financially. Help us by promoting this movement. Help us in every way you can. Let us not be silent. Let's make sure that we show Hashem that we're ready to climb the ladder. We're ready to stand for what's right. We're ready to stand for justice. Because remember, when we are prepared to climb that ladder, as dangerous as it seems, and as frightening as it is, we have been promised that once we're prepared to climb the ladder of doing what the Torah says and doing what Hashem commands and doing what we as a people are destined to do, once we're prepared to do that, we have been promised that we as a nation shall never fall. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.